Welcome everyone to Prison Colony Resistance. My name is Vax Man. That's right. I'm the Vax Man. I'm coming to you with my fellow co-host, Sam. Sam, are you in the house?
I'm here. I can hear you loud and clear.
Excellent, Sam. Hopefully our listeners out there can also hear us loud and clear. We're here. We're talking to you from inside the prison colony. You know it as Australia. We know it as what it started as, a prison colony, because that's what it's gone back to.
It certainly has. It certainly feels like it at times, especially over the last, 20 months. The rule changes, the mandates, oh my God, you can't keep up.
It's ever-changing, it's consistent, it's daily, it's confusing.
It's consistently inconsistent.
That is a good point, because it comes out, it's going to be sometime during the week that you get a new change in the law. Discussing the law and the topics of law has become this sort of backbone of Australian prison colony conversations nowadays. Everyone's now a constitutional expert. Everyone knows what mandates mean, what directions mean. But dear listener, we're wondering if you know what that means, because me and Sam, the Vax Man and Sam, have been here living at the front lines of this thing. We know what it's like. We've lived it day in and day out, and we're here to try to break it down and explain it to you and teach you what is meant when they say mandate and directions and Emergency Management Act and all this other nonsense that you see everywhere.
Emergency management, my God, that just, the more I hear that, the more I just shake my head. It's ridiculous. It really is.
It's entered the lexicon. Everyone knows what that is.
And they just keep rolling it out 30 days at a time.
Now, we are now in the minutiae of what Prison Colony Resistance will be talking to you about. These are details that Sam and me know. It's in our blood because we've lived it, like I said, but maybe you haven't. But before we get into all those details, you probably want to know who we are. So how about we take this wonderful opportunity that our listeners are giving us their attention to kind of give you a sort of a summary, a breakdown, a little glimpse into our lives here in the prison colony. Sam, you want to take it away?
Certainly. Look, I am currently a discarded healthcare worker. 20-odd months ago, when all this started, I was working for SA Health, and we had a few little emails come through, and they were telling us about this big bad virus that was coming out of China. And to be honest, it's just another bit of junk email that I really paid no attention to. And slowly, news started building up. And, we got footage coming out of China of, bodies dropping on the street. And then the media starts throwing in all this panic. And we just like, wow, what the hell is going on, man? And then, our first lockdown came. I think it was March, April last year, or 2 years ago now.
Yeah, it was 2020 and March. That's when the emergency powers came in, end of March 23rd.
So nearly 2 years ago, our first lockdown. And, I think like everyone else, slightly skeptical, but a little worried at the same time, because we didn't know what we were dealing with. And I remember where I was working. I initially was with SA Health, and I moved to a private organization, still in healthcare. And I said to my manager at the time, it's not the virus that I'm scared of, it's what will happen to the world in regards to the rules that change. And I was looked at like I was completely nuts. And well, a little bit of justification, don't mean to gloat, but I certainly showed him. And for the past 20 months, I've been working in healthcare, working in a theater setting and throughout the wards. And our organization was very clear in the fact that they were saying, well, we're not going to We're not going to push this on you. We're going to let you make your own decisions. And although we highly recommend you go and get juiced up, we're not going to push it. And then all of a sudden, in an email, 9 months into Australia's vaccine rollout, the language changed. And they said, we are now consulting with a panel of experts in regards to a company-wide vaccine mandation. And I went, oh, there it is. There it is. A week later, boom, full-on policy coming straight at you. And that policy was designed to scare and intimidate people into keeping their jobs. And that is absolutely disgusting.
That brings us to a common expression here that maybe hasn't been heard abroad, or I heard a discussion amongst American commentators. I listened to a lot of American podcasts, and they were saying job or jab. I wish they wouldn't have called it jab, but it's so the other host said that this is has its base and its history and sort of an English tradition for that word. So that was commonly expressed here. No jab, no job, no injections.
That's correct.
You don't have employment.
Pretty much, but they were very clear to say you have a choice, but that choice, if you didn't comply with their policy, was that your employment would be terminated.
Not much of a choice.
And you know, like, this was, you know, over the past 20 months, I guess we've had a lot of line in the sand type moments, and this was definitely one for me personally. And yeah, I did not cross it. No way.
I often feel, I don't know if you remember those cartoons when I was a kid, when they say everyone who wants to participate in this venture, take one step forward. No one's stepping forward, but our main character, the hero, takes one step backwards. And everyone seems to have taken one step forward, and Bugs is back in his bug, you know, bunny hole.
There's certainly a lot of illusion going on around this place, that's for sure.
It feels like that. It feels like everyone took this step forward to get vaccinated. And I wondered why. I could not wrap my head around why so many people were lining up to get injected with an experimental mRNA gene therapy, is that how they sold it to us, with less than a year of a study under its belt.
Yeah.
I could not understand that.
Well, I mean, when you look back, you know, with a little, you know, perspective, I guess, you see that a lot of people made these decisions based purely on fear and based on how would they support themselves if they were mandated to either get the jab or lose their job. So
I think that is one of the aspects of this tyranny that is not visible to people who may not be dealing with it day to day. So we're gonna take you through those mandates. We're gonna read what the actual legislation said. And we saw how it encroached on Sam's life, and eventually it put him in a position where he had to draw a line in the sand. And other people took that step forward. And every time there's more steps over a supposed line in the sand that we've set, for example, not my kids, until it's legalized, and then, oh, I can't wait to protect them. So we keep setting these lines in the sand, but then our principles fracture like shards of glass when confronted with a tiny challenge.
You know, that just little side story, you know, I was at a GP not long ago, and there was a mother basically pimping her daughter out for the Pfizer shot. She was berating the poor receptionist behind the desk. I want nothing but Pfizer for my daughter. Nothing but the best one. And I had no idea what to say. I had no idea what to think. I'm like, is this what people are thinking these days? It's just, it's madness.
Wow. I mean, your own child and putting something that we have no idea, and you've seen the athletes collapsing, and So in terms of Australia and the prison colony, I mean, not maybe everyone doesn't may maybe doesn't know this, but it's very worrisome to me as a parent. But on the 10th of January, so I guess we should set this up. So I'll give you my introduction before we set this up, so we can kind of have both of us and you know who we are and who you're talking to and who you're listening to. So my name is
Navak. Introduce yourself.
Oh, thanks, Sam. Thank you very much. I feel so cozy being among friends here at home and just kind of chilling out and doing a podcast. So if I may wax loquaciously for the next couple of minutes, as you may notice, we have different accents and I have an American accent.
What?
I do. I could talk to you in my Aussie, mate, but you probably have a headache after 1 minute, mate.
Yeah, no. Please stop.
Yes. I've tried to adapt, but I can only go so far. I'm a creature of old habits. We came here, my wife and I, we came to the prison colony, the original colony of Sydney. We live next to or very close to the Hyde Barracks. We saw where the original prisoners were kept and stored and slept at. And we always had that underbelly of Sydney as that prison colony. But for us, Sydney, where we had just moved after having traveled abroad for many years as English teachers. So we had gone to Japan for a couple of years as English teachers, and we'd gone to Korea, and we had experienced the level of travel that wasn't available to most Americans. So most Americans have a very limited view of the world. And often, I think something, if I remember the stat correctly, less than 60% or something like that of Americans do not have a passport. They have no need to travel outside of the country. So being able to find a partner who would travel with me was amazing. And being able to have taught English together and traveled together and landed in Sydney to study, to continue our education. And so we came here and we enjoyed many, many fruitful years of being educated in Australia and growing in Australia, maturing in Australia, in Sydney. And then at a certain point, everything started to change recently. And like you said, it was in 2020. Suddenly, everything just stopped and everyone locked down. And like you, Sam, the Vax Man was investigating, was looking at videos of people plopping on the street in China and scientists, you know, in the full bio suit with machine guns. What is happening? Then that got exported to Iran, and then that got exported to Bergamo, and then that hit Seattle, and then it went to New York, and then there's an epidemic. And it was such a fear campaign across every single mainstream media that at a certain point, I was all in on the narrative. I was all in on this belief that this virus had exploded out of a lab, but I was always on the other side. Everyone said, oh, it wasn't a lab leak. It was natural. It was a pangolin and a bat fucking each other in a 69 position in some cave in Mongolia or something. But I always said, nah, there's the Farron cleavage.
There's more to this.
Yeah, there has to be more. Every single one of my colleagues, and I work in a tertiary level education university with academics, and they all had a blind eye to what was happening. Nobody was really considering anything, which really set alarm bells off. But the one moment that really, really, really set me on a path to understanding what was actually happening was I was communicating with my sister back in the USA, and she works in a public hospital in one of the, it's called a free state now, the state of Florida. And so she works in a public hospital in Florida, but because she's on the front line of this COVID-19, she had to be one of the very first people who got the injection. So she was at the spearhead of this injection campaign. She got the injection in November 2020, and they started issuing it to the population in about February, late January 2021. So she got it about 4 months before anyone else. And I texted her a little while after, and I said, hey, how's it going? Any after effects? Having all this data streaming in about adverse events and everything, right? Well, which we'll talk about in this podcast. But when she said, the vaccines are great, you should get one, and I can't wait for them to approve it for my five-year-old, my niece, her daughter.
Oh.
Something just at that point, I hit full stop on the brakes. black smoke coming out of my back tires like in the cartoons. I could not go further because this was insane. And so yeah. I started to kind of wake up to that. But like I said, I'm one of the very few academics in a university that is actually on this side, on the unvaccinated side, on the bioweapon free side. So we have the clarity, I think, to see what's happening.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's my
little
blurb.
It's funny you say that. It's funny you say that, you know, like try working in a hospital with a view that doesn't fit the narrative that is being portrayed by the media. You are looked at like you've got three heads. You know, like I remember, I think I was asked just randomly, you know, in passing down the corridors, oh, have you booked in for your vax yet? And I just, no, I haven't. And wow, the look that I got was just astounding.
It's almost as if they're asking if you have tickets to the latest U2 concert, you know? Like, did you catch tickets to the sold-out concert?
Yeah. Even if U2 were playing, we'd probably have to be vaxxed to go and see them.
Exactly. And that is another aspect of the tyranny where we're currently at. We have been told that to participate in public events, we have to show through scanning our phone at a digital sensor that they have at every entrance point to large venues, then that then shows on our phone whether or not we have been quote unquote fully vaccinated. Now, the meaning of that changes every other day. We're currently at two shots, but the booster's coming in. And unless you have the booster, you won't be fully vaccinated. In the States, they're about 3 months ahead of us. So they're already talking about number four. And if you don't have the four, and so on and so forth.
See, I've been saying this for a little while now that the Northern Hemisphere, they are a few months ahead of us, you know, in their rollouts and how they're dealing with things. And if you can see that, you can kind of prepare yourself for what's coming down here. So I think being so far away and being able to see what's happening, we're kind of in a good position, you know, like for the most part, people with a brain will start prepping.
Those are rare nowadays, though, Sam.
Yeah.
The Vax Man doesn't see many brains walking around
anymore. Hey, well, look, if anyone is listening to this, congratulations. You're part of the resistance and you have a fully functioning brain capable of critical thought.
And I would also add, you have an obligation now. You have a responsibility to keep yourself free of this bioweapon. We have seen some of its effects that we'll detail in the podcast as we go. No spoilers. We want you coming back for the second episode.
Is it going to be another episode?
Yes, absolutely. Sam, we are locked in. I signed a lifetime contract for us. We pretty much gave up the house to the NWO. We're going to own nothing and be happy.
Okay. Oh, yes, I'm sure we'll be saying that a lot over the coming weeks.
I think on our 10th booster, that'll be the pledge. I, the Vax Man, shall own nothing and be happy, and I pledge allegiance to the NWO.
Well,
amen.
As long as you can do that with a smile and just maybe wipe the dribble from your chin.
We are talking about Soma. We are talking about full-on Room 101, 1984. That's who we are. We are at the forefront. We are at the spearhead. We are here in the prison colony, bringing you the action from the front lines. So how about we get into a topic that we've been considering to share with you, our listeners, and we're going to talk about the creation of the vaccine, the symbolism of the vaccine, and what we have seen. As you have heard from us and our stories, we're kind of on the, I am a vax-free person and I am fucking proud of that and I will stay vax-free until I die. That is my solemn oath to every single listener out there.
It's out there now, so you have to stick by that.
I must. I think and everyone else who's listening has to take the same solemn vow. What you are seeing before you, the tyranny being imposed on us, the very fact that every single individual in the prison colony from 5 years old until death, until 99, 100, who knows what else. They have to have this inside of their blood. Why do they need this to have? I do not understand.
The experts say so. The doctors say so. Do you not watch the news?
So what is this thing that we're fighting? Why are we injecting everyone? What are we trying to prevent? What is this virus?
Well, it depends who you ask. It really does. I mean, if you ask the chief health officers here in Australia, it is almost like the plague. It will come out from nowhere. It's going to hide around a corner, jump out at you, and you'll die. That's what they want you to believe. But in actual fact, if you're a healthy individual, it's nothing more than a sniffle.
If you have your vitamin D, if you've taken your zinc and your magnesium, if you've kept up your vitamin, if you've gone for a walk recently, if you just try to be healthy, you'll survive. You'll just have a cold for 3 or 4 days. It might get a bit bad. You know, you might need to have some more intervention in order to flush the virus. Dr. Merrick and Dr. Corey talk about that over in their group, the FLCCC. If anyone's interested, they've developed the protocol for ivermectin and how to really treat COVID. They've eliminated COVID in every single one of their patients. They have the lowest death rate. It's unbelievable and frustrating. So one of the things about the Australian, the prison colony, the mandates that have existed and the coronavirus and the chief health officers, we should probably explain what that means. So I'm sure that our listeners have seen viral videos of Dr. Carrie Chance saying, if you talk to someone at the supermarket, you might bring the virus home and kill your grandmother or something along those lines. Do you remember that, Sam?
I remember that. Yes, she is. She's provided a lot of laughs, a lot of good footage. And she thinks she's absolutely serious.
Now, but she is not the chief health officer. The chief health officer in New South Wales. Well,
that's Brad Hazard.
Exactly. So that's the guy that's the kind of tallish guy with the little goblin ears who looks like the school principal, who is very upset that you snuck that cigarette under the bleachers 20 minutes ago.
He's the one that just yells at everyone.
He was sued in a court. Maybe some of our listeners have heard about Qassam v. Hazard. Maybe they saw it on YouTube. So the chief health officer for New South Wales, which is one of the states in the prison colony. So we have New South Wales, we have Victoria, we have South Australia, West Australia, Western Australia.
Yep.
Western, sorry. Man, it's like
that's okay, you're new, that's country. Fine. That's okay.
As you can see, fellow listeners, this is Australians in a nutshell. Western Australia.
Australia. But yes,
that's there.
We have
Queensland,
Tasmania, Northern Territory.
Ah, and that's a territory, mate. That's not a state. Ooh.
You're splitting hairs, really. And the ACT or Canberra.
And the ACT. So that's the Australian Capital Territory. So the chief health officer that we're referring to is chief health officer, say that five times fast, for New South Wales, which is the biggest state, has the largest population because they have Sydney. Who's the chief health officer for Victoria?
Man,
I see him all the time, but I can't remember his name.
Slug boy.
We have very little respect for these particular ministers
servants. This is a guy that went into a facility with that prepares food for a hospital, and one of his little cronies dropped in a slug and it became a big thing. So he's now known as Slug Boy.
Every state basically has a chief health officer, and one of the more infamous chief health officers, not only because of her beauty, but her style and her grace, but also because of the fact that she is a complete fuckwit and she doesn't know anything. She told the whole country that when a visiting team from, was it Melbourne?
Melbourne, yes.
Were coming to her state in South Australia, she said that if the ball is hit to anyone in the stands.
Yeah, they were playing football. If the ball goes over the fence, don't touch the ball.
Do not touch the ball because it may have the Delta strain on it. And yes, you may then get infected with the Delta strain and set off a cascading chain reaction through the stadium in which the infection rates and cases in South Australia increases exponentially because of that one moment in history of where you touch that ball.
It'll send us back into the dark ages.
So as you can see, these chief health officers have built up this virus to such an extreme that it is incomprehensible to people who have not bought into this whole narrative, such as Sam and the Vax Man. So what do you think about this, Sam? What do you think about this, a coronavirus, a nasal pharynge transmission vector virus becoming the end all and be all of humanity?
Oh, that's it. I mean, look, what it is, what it isn't, it doesn't matter. It was merely a mechanism for them to roll out whatever the hell it is they're rolling out to get as many injections in as many arms as they can. It was purely a mechanism. That's all. That's how I see it. And, you know, the cards that fall down after that, it's, I mean, you get media pumping fear. You get, you know, speech being suppressed. You get doctors being threatened. Freedom of speech is gone, you know. I mean, we've got a podcast and we've got zero listeners right now, so we can say whatever we want.
Oh, come on. I think my dog's listening. We have one. I don't even have a dog, Sam, so my non-existent future dog is listening.
Well, there you go. We've got one. But you know what I mean? The mechanism of the virus to just pump out complete fear and control. You know, we've never had a government that has such influence and impact in people's day-to-day lives. It's never been like that. You know, I grew up here in the 80s. I was born in 1980, and you know, it was great growing up here in Australia, you know. And to think how much has changed, especially in the last, you know, 20 months, oh man, it's crazy. It really is. The complete overreach of this government and the influence it has on your day-to-day decisions, it blows my mind. You know, they want to know where you are. They want to know where you go. Checking in here, checking in there, making sure are you out of sight where someone's, you know, sneezed? Oh, well, guess what? 2 weeks for you in quarantine.
Mm.
You know, there are over 2,000 people right now in South Australia that have been ordered to go into self-isolation.
And those are under new rules that have come in because of the Omicron strain. And the Omicron strain is so infectious and so deadly. Well, we don't know if it's deadly yet, but we know it's infectious and can cause a case. Now, these cases are detected by a PCR test. Yes, that's correct, rest of the world. Australia is still using PCR tests, the very tests that the CDC has said are unreliable, that its own maker, its own inventor said you cannot use these to detect anything. However, these are now being determined whether or not you are a casual contact. That's correct. You're not even the infected person. You're just someone else who was in the room with the infected person from this hour to said hour. Now, how do they figure out those hours? They check their technology. They look at their QR code scan-ins. Now, readers, however you take this in, you may be wondering, what is a QR code? Well, in this country, as of probably late 2020, I would say. In there, October.
I
started seeing them.
Yep.
Every single
They really came out pushing this stuff really hard in about March, April of this year. Big blitz, you know, police making sure you were checking in. Having people at the door checking your phones.
And what this is every single shopkeeper, in order to continue trading, must apply to the government and tell them the size of their locale, how many customers they estimate, what is their square meter size of the shop, how much is accessible. So they have to give all this information, and they have to determine who's going to be a COVID marshal, meaning who will enforce these rules that they will now tell you about. Then you, once you give all that information to the government, they then issue you a QR code, basically an individualized code that you then have to print at your own expense, at your own toner and cartridge expense, and put around your shop in areas where anyone who has a phone with this capability of scanning QR codes is able to scan into your establishment. Now, these started appearing and they started to freak me out.
Why is that? Why are we freaked out with the QR codes?
All I want is a euro. Why do I have to tell you that I'm eating a euro? Why do I have to scan in to get a euro? That doesn't make any sense to me.
No, it doesn't. But what makes even less sense is scanning in to actually go to work. I mean, we're there 38 hours a week, Monday to Friday. You know where we are. But come to work, scan in. It's very robotic.
Now, you may be saying, dear listener, but wait a minute, Vaxman, wait a minute, Sam. You guys are living in an alternate reality where everyone has mobile phones. My uncle, my auntie, my grandfather, my grandmother does not have a mobile phone. So this whole thing is just discrimination. Well, the Privacy Act sort of came to the rescue at that point, and they amended the Privacy Act 1988 Commonwealth in order to include the exemption to not having the capability to scan in to a QR code when you visit an establishment, and that was a sign-in sheet. So if you don't have a technology capable of scanning in, they had a little clipboard with a freaking Bic pen at every single shop. And I would always ask to see the clipboard because I always found it fun to see what kind of clipboard they invested in. Here they are printing all these signs for their shop. But what kind of clipboard did they buy? Did they get the cheap little plywood one? Or, you know,
I always found that. They're the worst. They're the worst. Bastards. So have you scanned in everywhere you go? Do you scan in? Do you write your name down?
To be honest, dear listeners, I do not scan in. I try to pay cash.
That's a very good move, you know, because, this time of year, a lot of people, and you see this on the SA Health Facebook pages and their Twitter pages, they say, you know what? And this is where I laugh. You know what? We're so close to Christmas. We're going to stop scanning in. We don't want to be locked up for Christmas. And I think part of me thinks, well, good on you. But then another part of me thinks, oh, you hypocritical bastards. You know, you guys have complied yourselves into this position that you're complaining about. Do you see what's happening here? And now all of a sudden it's Christmas time. Well, guess what? We're not gonna worry about scanning in. But as soon as Boxing Day finishes, we'll go right back to being good little soldiers, good little government sheep.
On that note, Sam, like if I may share with you a very interesting article that I found. So if you'll allow me, here we go. This was from Brad Hazard, that very minister that we're talking about, and the chief health officer for New South Wales basically said to the Australian populace, because We are now in Australia. You may not realize this to your listeners, but we are having a heat wave. It's not cold here. It's very, very hot. And the reason
it's
not
hot, a heat wave.
it was hot. Wave. The last couple of days were hot.
This is not a heat wave.
And
you have much to experience here.
Oh, see.
Try 10 days of 40 degrees plus.
Oh, have you ever done 45, Sam?
Yes, we hit 45 once about 2 years ago. Yeah.
That's not a heat wave. This is a heat wave.
Pretty much. Oh, man, I remember that day. It was hot as fuck. I walked out from work and you could feel the hairs on your legs and your arms just singeing.
So this is a letter. This is it was written up in a newspaper in New South Wales, and it's basically the chief health officer, Brad Hazard, who has gone all in on the mandates. He has gone so all in. Basically, in New South Wales, the rule was you must not leave your home. And if you do, you can only do it for two reasons. One, 1 hour of exercise every single day. And it has to be within the 5 kilometers within which you live in. And we will have police officers on the street stopping you as you exercise to check your driver's license to ensure that you are within the 5 kilometer perimeter of your household. And if not, you shall be issued with a fine of $5,000 or so. So that was the madness of New South Wales. And until they reached 90% vaccinated, I think it started at 80 and it climbed up to 90. Under the Berejiklian reign of terror. Is that right?
Yeah. Yep. That sounds about right.
And until we hit 90% in New South Wales, you could not leave your house. So everyone went and got vaxxed because what choice did you have? You wanted to go out to the beach in Sydney. It's freaking Sydney, the opera house, the beaches, Bondi, the bridge, everything in Sydney. And you can't even see it because you have to stay home. Oh, my goodness. So now in 2021, the students are coming up to their graduation. And this is a sort of a statement, right? From the Health Minister, Brad Hazard, today granted an exemption to enable all high school students to attend their school year 12 formal dinner or graduation, regardless of their vaccination status. Quotes. The HSC students of 2021 have had an incredibly tough 18 months, including substantial time without face-to-face teaching and missing out on seeing friends and family. They deserve to be able to party with their friends and enjoy one of the biggest celebrations in their life. They get one, Sam, just one.
Oh, that's very generous of the man, isn't it? I mean, this coming from a guy that, you know, marched thousands of people into what was it, Qdos Stadium in Sydney for, you know, a mass vaccination of teenagers, where I think at least two or three of them, unfortunately and very sadly, passed away.
And that's on video that went viral.
Right. But No one's talking about that down here, you know. And that's another thing we'll probably touch upon over the coming weeks is, you know, the adverse reactions and deaths from this jab that the media just do not touch.
So at the university where I teach at, I talked to a colleague, a very learned fellow who knows what he's talking about. And I asked him, are you not worried that the 1981 change in the law in the United States allowing for public agencies to have an ability to patent any invention that their funding creates, leading to potential corruption because the bureaucrats in charge of that agency now have a vested interest in patenting whatever discovery their scientists who are funded by them discover. Does that not sort of bother you? So, and then I made it very specific. The fact that Anthony Fauci has innumerable patents, who has a vested interest in Moderna, who hasn't brought a vaccine into the market at all, other than the bioweapon that they're injecting into people, They've been banned in several countries. Your dosage is incredibly high, causes so many adverse events. We should stop calling it that. They're actually crippling, morbid conditions imposed on an unwilling populace. But anyways, this whole fact I mentioned to him, doesn't it strike you as odd that the person who is in charge of dispersing this information about how safe these mRNA gene therapy shots are is the same person who can stand to benefit billions of dollars from? Doesn't that bother you a bit? And he actually gave me a look and said, no, I trust in Dr. Fauci to do the right thing, just as he did during the AIDS crisis in the early 80s. Yeah. He actually said that word for word. He's like a robot.
Wow. That's just been drilled into them, really, hasn't it? You know, I mean, yeah. How do you argue that? How do you argue to someone who so blindly follows the news of TV and newspaper? How do you do that? It's a waste of your time, you know.
So we see the control that repetition propaganda can have on the populace. It's a firm grip on their opinion, their thinking.
Oh yeah, it's propaganda, absolutely. My God. And that brings me to, you know, I would be driving to work and, you know, I would go past bus shelters and billboards and it would say, roll up your sleeve, go get vaccinated, do it for your community. I'm like, this goes against our government's own immunization policy, right? So you need to make a clear decision without any manipulation from any external factors. So you drive past a billboard twice a day for a month, you know, is it going to start sinking in? Maybe for the weaker minds, potentially. Who knows? Hard to say.
And it creates a very guilt imperative on the weaker minded. I haven't done my bit. I haven't taken that jab for the team. I haven't done my share. And yes, absolutely. And those were everywhere. Roll up your sleeve. Then it became more ominous. And I guess we should segue into the actual mandates. So I'm sure our listeners have heard of this term mandates, and they've heard about the tyranny and they've seen the protests in the streets. So if I could, Sam, let me show you one of the very first mandates that came out, if you'll allow me, kind of to share to the reader. I'll read a bit. I won't bore them with the legalese. These things are very long, but you can find them quite easily. So this one is what actually activated the things that are known as mandates across, you know, what you've seen in your videos and what you've learned about this prison colony that we're currently living in. So how do these powers get activated? And it all comes from an Emergency Management Act 2004. At least this is in the state of South Australia. So basically, with the signature of one person, you can then activate this emergency powers. Now, what do you think of when you hear emergency, Sam?
I think of full-on blackouts, no power, no water, bodies dropping in the streets, piled up, the stench of corpses getting right up my nose. That pretty much constitutes an emergency.
War of the Worlds, those big towering alien things coming over the hill. You're in the bunker. You're surviving. You're in an emergency. Your house is burning down. Emergency. Yep.
There are people looting in the street, you know, robbing your shoes off your feet, that kind of stuff.
You are struggling to survive.
Yeah.
The times are dark. The reality is twisted. And your ability to survive depends on your wit, your skill, and your gumption.
They're certainly not playing professional sport through a pandemic.
Or going to the disco or the pub and having a schnitty.
Yeah.
23rd March of 2020 was when the state of South Australia, which we'll focus on because it's a nice sort of a nice crystal to focus our attention through. So the 22nd of March, A signature then appoints a state coordinator, and the emergency was the outbreak of a human disease named COVID-19 within the state of South Australia.
And it all went downhill from there.
And what is COVID? What is COVID again?
What is COVID again? Well, look, if anyone out there has an isolated version they can show us, please, by all means, get in contact with us.
So we had newscasters yelling. We had people freaking out. We had cases. We had outbreaks. We had corpses. We had Chinese psyops. We had people in biowarfare suits. We had Bergamo with all the old Italians dying. We had New York and Cuomo with his newscast. So the COVID thing out there was so freaky that we needed to put this into place. And what this did was it activated this whole set of powers that nobody ever thought would be activated, because we are in the lucky country. The prison colony is also known as the lucky country.
Yes, we're very, very lucky that we're still upright.
And so these emergency powers then were granted to what's called the state coordinator in South Australia, which is the police commissioner. Is that right?
Yes. So the police commissioner is basically making health choices now.
And his name is Grantley Stevens. So if anybody ever wants to send a strongly worded email or letter, send it care of Grantley Stevens, Commissioner of Police of the State of South Australia. I think his office is somewhere in Adelaide.
And you can CC in Stephen Marshall and Nicola Spurrier as well. That won't be an issue.
So once these powers, this Emergency Management Act, was activated, then began the ability to make laws that would normally be seen as being authoritarian, tyrannical, would you say?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. That's probably a very mild way of putting it.
Now, you may be wondering, what's so tyrannical about getting a vaccine? I have a rubella vaccine. I have a measles vaccine. Well,
hey, look, I'm a healthcare worker, man. I've had every single vaccine that I needed to actually start work. You know, I was in contact with blood, needed the Hep shot, needed the pertussis shot. I did all that, right? Because I've been around, you know, and yeah, I did it. Yeah, but I mean, they're still kind of shitty though. They can still fuck you up. Let's be honest. You know, people have had reactions to those things, you know, so I absolutely consider myself lucky that, you know, I was able to wake up the next day and, you know, all is well. But this is different, man.
Yeah. They've told us, they themselves have told us these are experimental. We're under emergency use authorization because of this virus called COVID.
The health minister himself came out and said the Australian public will be involved in the largest clinical trial that the world has ever seen. But that doesn't mean shit for businesses, because they don't care about that. They just want to get people jabbed up as quick as they can.
That's their way to more sales, more profit, more cash in their pocket.
That's it. That's right. You know, this Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, wow, we could do a whole episode of him, on him. So maybe I might just reserve my comments for him just for the time being, because, you know, it's getting late and we could be up all night.
There it is, listeners. The vitriol for our ScoMo, who went to Hawaii as the country burned.
Yes. Let's potentially leave him alone just for the moment, and maybe we'll have a crack at him in episode 2.
Oh, maybe episode 3 or 4.
we could do a two-parter on him, that's for sure.
Absolutely. SCOBO, he's something else. So these mandates then started to come out because of these Emergency Management Act. So if you'll allow me, Sam, I'll read a little bit of these mandates and what they sound like, because they're very, very ominous in their language. So it all came in with the residential aged care. Let's protect the old. Now we know.
Well, that's it.
From the data, that's not quite what these vaccines do.
See, but the thing is, this was put in place over 12 months ago. You know, especially here in Adelaide, you were not allowed to even set foot in an aged care facility without a flu shot. Right? That was kind of their soft launch. You know, you get people used to it.
Yeah.
You know, what are you going to do? You know, poor mum, she's in a nursing home. She's about to pass away. You can't go in without a flu shot, or I'll get a flu shot. This is the kind of situation that people are being put in.
It's just a flu shot. It's not an mRNA just gene a flu therapy. Shot.
Mm. Right. It was a soft launch.
So that's been in place. And then they went hard with this one. They said, so this is the emergency healthcare setting. So I'll read you the one that affected Sam directly, our co-host, because this one, emergency management, healthcare setting workers vaccination number 4, COVID-19, direction 2021. So basically, the act says that the commissioner of police, Grantley Stevens, being the state coordinator allowed under that act that we just talked about, is now allowed, being of the opinion that it is necessary to achieve the purposes of this act. And what is the purpose? Obviously, it's to save people from this virus, to maintain the provision of healthcare services, to minimize the disruption to those services, due to workers being furloughed because of the COVID-19 virus, and to reduce the risk of the spread of the COVID-19. That was the reason that you no longer have a job.
Yeah. Thank you, Grant. I appreciate it, mate, because, you know, if you hadn't have done that, I wouldn't be starting this podcast. And, you know, as awkward as we may sound now, a couple of weeks, mate, we'll sound like pros.
Yeah. And they are so sure that ensuring that the population is double vaccinated, or whatever they consider to be vaccinated, that will reduce the risk of spread, that now that they're allowing only, because of state border restrictions, they're only allowing double vaccinated to enter a state of South Australia, which we're focusing on for now, yet the cases are rising. It's the most interesting case study in all of Australia, because that state has been sheltered for the longest time, and now they're up to bat.
It's really weird though, isn't it? You know, like over the last 18 months or so, we kind of got lucky. You know, I don't quite understand it. You know, you saw the eastern states of Australia get absolutely pummeled with cases. It's a very, you know, very interesting point. This is really, really a case-demic, not a pandemic, because, you know, there are not a lot of deaths happening here. Why was this state spared so well? That I always found that odd.
It almost seems like they saved South Australia for last.
Right. So, yeah, you know, I'm just waiting. You know, I think Stephen Marshall kind of wants his Dan Andrews moment. You know, maybe a bit of 15 minutes of fame. And this guy, he comes across as a bit of a laid back, you know, kind of, I'll please everyone, but this dude is a passive aggressive overlord. And I don't like him, man. I don't trust him. I don't like him. He's putting rules in place, but he's changing the rules daily by the looks of it.
And these rules are just basically these things that we're reading to, these directions. There's nothing else behind them. And the only reason they can exist is because there's an emergency. And the only reason that they can exist is because they activated the Emergency Management Act. As soon as you shut that down, all of these powers wither away. However, as you mentioned at the opening of the podcast, every single time they come up for activation or reactivation or renewal, they get renewed automatically.
Every 30 days. We live month by month here, and you know, I think they can only do it for 2 years. I don't think they can do it for any longer than that. I don't quote me on that. It's just something I heard somewhere along the way.
There it is. That's what we are facing. Every single day we wake up and say, okay, we are literally the prisoners in that cell block in that 1930s movie that's crossing the X's on the calendar, counting down the 2 years until we're free.
Yeah, but we can't leave this state. We can't do a lot of things if you're not vaccinated here. You know, you can't go see sport. You can't see concerts. You can't even go to the zoo.
You know, most states now have put a rule in place that in order to enter that state, like we said before, states and territories. The territories have really gone hard. NT is a bit scary.
Wow. Oh yeah. You know, they've got a tourism slogan: "See you in the NT." Right. So you see it. You know what it says. That guy, he is an absolute "see you in the NT." Seriously, what is he, Michael Gunner? Yeah, man, he's crazy.
Now, Northern Territory, which is not a state, so I'm not sure how that plays into this whole political scheme.
It's merely just a name.
Yeah, and the Northern Territory has sent the army and the police to indigenous communities, taken the elders, claim that they have to imprison them in a quarantine camp because of this COVID-19 Delta variant, and we're going into the Omicron at the time of this recording, and they have injected them forcefully, which many of them have died, so I have heard.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was kind of making news a little bit a couple of weeks ago, but it's gone quiet over the last, say, week and a half. You're not really hearing a lot of stuff coming out of there.
We should also say, dear listeners, that in Australia, around the time of the Patriot Act in the United States, they changed a lot of laws here in Australia. And recently, I think the Australian Federal Police has the capability of changing any post in your social media and not having to tell you.
That's correct. They can delete contacts. They can delete posts. They can basically hack into your accounts and do whatever they want.
Without you knowing.
That's right.
Yep. And the ASIO, which is the Australian Security and Information Office, perhaps?
Yeah, they're kind of like, the NSA, I guess, ASIO.
They have full spectrum control over all telecommunications.
Yep.
So the fact that Sam and the Vax Man can come to you tonight and relay to you some of the troubles that we are facing down at the prison colony, on the front lines, at the coalface. Now, it may seem small moments, right? It may seem like, oh, you have to scan in. Oh, you have to do this. Oh, you have to do that. But those small moments build up into a wall of oppression that is stifling beyond belief.
Yeah, it's a slow build, and they do it subtly. So by the time it's already happened and the big move gets made, you've already been played.
And how do you end up in a position like Sam? How do you end up unemployed because of mandates? Well, let me read to you a little bit of what that direction that we were looking at before and how they implement these things. So this is Section 5 of that same Emergency Management Health Care Setting Workers Vaccination Number 4 COVID-19 Directions 2021. Quite catchy, almost like a Beatles song, I would say.
Maybe a B-side.
So this is 5 vaccination requirements and compliance for healthcare workers. Now remember, Sam was working in the hospitals, so he would have been covered by this. A person must not engage in work or perform duties in a phase 1 healthcare setting from 1 November 2021, that's when this fully came in, or a phase two healthcare setting from 8th November 2021, or a phase three healthcare setting from 6th December 2021, unless. Wow, what do you think there, Sam, so far?
Well, I think I know what's coming.
Were you phase one, phase two, or phase three?
Throw a dart, mate. Just see what happens.
So you can see, dear listener, this logic, the way, the very direction that dictates whether you can pay your mortgage, feed your family, send your kids to school, put them in shoes and clothes. And this very, the wording is so absolutely ridiculous. What is phase one, phase two, phase three? Unless, and here come the conditions, the person has received at least one dose of an approved or recognized COVID-19 vaccine, and so it's a conjunction. You have to do this, as well as the person has received or has evidence of booking to receive. So it's not about immunity. It's about the fact that you have a booking to get injected, and then you can work. And
we can't even test for immunity here because they made that illegal. Or they frown upon it. I don't know. Like I said, the rules keep changing.
They chip away here, they chip away there. It's in the where you work. It's now this department does a little bit of chipping, and now that department does a little bit of chipping. So this TGA COVID, there's only four of them. Is that correct? For the TGA approved COVID-19 vaccines?
Yeah, there's Pfizer, AstraZeneca, Moderna. What's the other one?
Do we have the J&J yet? The Johnson & Johnson?
I don't think that's here.
Yeah, so we only have three. So we might only have three. So now the Moderna has been banned in certain Nordic countries because of the adverse events. Like I said, we should stop saying that.
It's killing people. Conditions.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's okay, because we'll buy it and we'll put it in the Australian public, because that's what the government wants, because they care about us.
We'll make it part of our booster regimen. Booster Moderna. It sounds so cool. It's like something you buy at IKEA.
It sounds. Yes, I'm not putting that together.
And then the most preferred one. So we should mention how these vaccines came into Australia, because our Prime Minister, the Honorable Scott Morrison, who fled the country as it burned and went to Hawaii with his family. Scott Morrison ordered the AZT, which is the AstraZeneca. Sorry, AZT was the other vaccine that Fauci put into people suffering from HIV and killed innumerable amounts of people. I won't go there. But he ordered the AstraZeneca, and that was causing a lot of strokes in people.
Yep. A lot of neurological disorders happening, and people don't know why.
So people stopped taking the AstraZeneca. They said, I'm not sure I want that. I want the Pfizer. So people actually started to request the Pfizer, which always struck me as very strange.
Yeah, it's weird. Yeah.
Like requesting an experimental therapy to inject yourself with. So everyone requested the Pfizer, and that started to be dispersed. So now most people that I know who have vaccinated have done the Pfizer route. How about you, Sam?
I think Pfizer's pretty much the gold standard, the Rolls Royce of vaccines down here.
So if you have the Pfizer, if you have two shots of the Pfizer, you can do most anything that you like. So then it says in these directions, a person subject to number one must provide the healthcare setting with proof of their vaccination. So it's not enough that you can say to anyone, look, I got it. Don't worry about me. I'm safe. I'm immune. I had the vaccination. I'm good, which is kind of always what was accepted. Most people that you interacted with, you assumed were vaccinated with rubella and measles and all those other ones. And you never had to ask, do you have the MMR? However, now we have to make sure that every single person has this in their blood.
It's a scary prospect, isn't it?
It's very strange.
If you don't, you are basically treated like an outcast of society.
And well, you can't do many things, and it's starting to. So it started with these. It started with these things, these movements. They mandated not only having an injection, but showing proof that you've had the Pfizer or the AstraZeneca or the Moderna. They did that for healthcare workers. They did that for aged care workers. They did that for police officers. And recently, they did that for taxi drivers and bus drivers. So that was the one that kind of freaked me out, because now you're vaccinating Uber drivers who are just delivering food to different people, and nobody said anything.
Nope. No one batted an eyelid. It was just like it was accepted. You know?
Yeah.
Why should they be excluded?
Yeah.
That's basically the vibe you get down here, you know. Well, you know, everyone else has to be, so why not them? You know, they came for the healthcare workers, they got the teachers, and basically they're getting everyone that they can.
Yeah. And that is what we face. So it's not as if we have the army in the streets. We don't have the police knocking on our doors.
Not yet.
But it is this attrition of rights. It's this attrition of liberties. It's an encroachment of tyranny. It's a constant, everyday, oppressive feel that you are not vaccinated. You are still unvaccinated, and we're going to come and get you no matter what. Freaking scary, man. Scary.
It's very scary.
So here we are in a system that is telling us how to live our lives, telling us what shops we can frequent, what establishments we can go to. Yet the information that they give us sounds like that. It's illogical, does not make any sense, yet is believed by a large percentage of the population who takes it on board without any question. And then you have to live in that altered reality for those 24 hours until the law changes again.
Yeah, it's not a nice place to be.
That's the best way of putting it, I think.
It's not a nice place to be. You know, if you can manage to find your tribe, you know, people that share your views, man, your days are a lot easier, that's for sure.
Mm. It's harder and harder. More and more people getting vaxxed. Harder and harder. Yeah, so that's the prison colony, and we are resisting these changes. We are resisting the suppression as best as we can. Look, we're not about, you know, violent insurrection. We're just about pointing out on what is happening. You can see it through our eyes, hear it through our experience. This is happening, and it's so subtle, and it's so pervasive. And the worst part about everything is when you go outside, everything is normal. People are shopping in the supermarkets. People are crossing the road. Drivers are driving. Everything is normal.
But there's an underlying feeling of just one little thing that goes wrong and the whole thing just explodes.
It is a house of cards. You feel it.
Definitely.
Even the shopkeepers who are enforcing this feel guilty about enforcing it. Like, they don't want to, but they say, it's the law. What can I do? The people who are being enforced against us, who haven't taken this bioweapon into our blood system, feel guilty for not having done so. We feel oppressed when we go into the supermarkets because we have to wear the mask, even though we are healthy individuals with nothing wrong with us. Yet we have to pretend that we may be asymptomatic carriers. It's a maddening world, and it's really, I think, authentically, for sure, making me cognitively dissonated so much that I am literally crazy, Sam. I don't know what to say.
You're not crazy. You're definitely not crazy. You're you're hanging in there, which is all anyone can do.
So hang in there with us, listeners. We'll get through this. And if you want the next update on prison colony resistance, to find out what has progressed, what has transcribed, what has happened here in the prison colony, join us next week. Sam, you got any big news for next week? Any updates, any new innovations that you have in store?
Oh, we might bring a couple of new segments into next week.
Oh,
I might be smacking down some people. I'm really, really looking forward to that. And maybe a little segment I like to call Fuck You Science.
There you go. So stand by for Sam Smackdown and stand by for FU Science or Fuck You Science.
Fuck You Science.
Join us next week when we'll bring you more from the prison colony at the front lines, at the spearhead, at the coalface, informing you of what the oppression and the tyranny, what that map actually is coming to look like, what it is being fleshed out to look like. We are here and we'll let you know what we see. Thank you for joining us. My name is The Vax Man.
This is Sam.
And we'll see you next week at Prison Colony Resistance, where you get your PCR test for truth.